everybody.
It's the Ounces of Information Podcast
by Central States Beverage Company.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey, guy.
How's it going?
What are you doing here?
Just chilling, brother. Just chilling.
That's a great way to start the very first podcast. Absolutely. I feel good about it. Anyway, it is the Ounces of Information podcast, inaugural podcast with Central States Beverage Company. My name is Aaron. I'm here in the marketing department. I am the one who was tasked with putting this whole thing together. So hopefully this goes well. I don't know.
The studio looks great, by the way.
I work with what I got. If you didn't know already, the person that is talking that isn't me is Jordan. He's our craft brands manager.
Hello.
Is that the official title? Did I do that right?
Yeah, you're
okay,
good.
Okay, I'm good. It's craft. Nope. I already messed it up, Jordan. I got to redo it. It's the craft and imports manager.
Fair enough. You are correct.
Can't leave out the overseas stuff. But okay, so you started that answer to that question was, hey, but you didn't follow up. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You good?
Yeah.
Made it over here. Mm-hmm. Nice day.
Yeah.
70s.
80 step walk or so over here. It was nice and pleasant.
Didn't bring any beer.
Again,
a little upset about
an
it.
Idiot.
Oh my god!
But we're going to talk about beer because there's a lot going on. There's a lot of stuff that's hitting market.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's hitting the market. Obviously, this time of year is big for seasonals and big for variety packs. And this year, maybe more so than any other year, impulse is going to be at an absolute high rate.
Yeah, man.
I think the theme of this whole podcast is probably going to be impulse, maybe.
That's the only way I know.
I don't know if you've walked through the grocery store or Costco or Sam's Club or anything like that and seen the toilet paper and paper towel aisle, but it's depleted already. And so people are ready for another potential shutdown or, you know, they're already freaking out.
So we're here to tell you, don't forget about the beer.
Right.
Let's deplete those shelves too.
Right.
We can fill those.
Absolutely.
A lot of stuff.
We do a good job of keeping them filled for the most part. So,
you know, you were talking about the seasonals. Was there one in particular you wanted to lead with?
Not necessarily. I just, like I said, this time of year we have an influx of seasonals available.
So well, see, just, I'm a huge fan this time of year of the Mother's Winter Grind.
Sure.
And that's just, oh.
Luckily for us, there's a whole bunch of people in Kansas City that also look forward to that beer.
No kidding.
And we got off to a really great start with it this year. To the plan, we're probably going to be depleted by Christmas, which is going to be great.
Hey.
With that being said, I mean, there's others that we can discuss as well.
You For know, sure.
Martin City Donut Stout just released last week, and it's already on a tear. Rob Richmiller and I discuss very frequently. Number one, the frequency of their seasonal release schedule, which is pretty high.
Yeah,
they have
a lot
of limited release or seasonal, however you want to call it, brands that are available, and all of them have just been depleting like crazy this year. And Donut Stout is definitely no different there.
So what you're saying is before Christmas, what we can do is we can get the Martin City Donut Stout, get the Mother's Winter Grind, cuvee for just breakfast.
Right.
I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Friday's off.
Yeah, donut, coffee, stout. So we got the Martin City Donut Stout.
Martin City Donut Stout's out. That one's going to be gone here probably within another 2 weeks. Apple Spice Goes from Crane.
Yeah.
That's just releasing. That's another brewery that has a high frequency of seasonal releases, but been managing that pretty well this year. And the Apple Spice Goes is one that they've repeated a couple of years now and is always a good one. Right behind that, though, too, from Crane is Festivice and the Crane de Noël. Those will be here ready to go the week of Thanksgiving as well. So
awesome.
A couple of good things to look for there, too.
Also, shout out to Crane. Their T-Vice just took the Pitch KC's best sour beer in Kansas City, which obviously Crane Sour kind of owned the market, but always good to be recognized.
Yeah, for sure, especially when it's an everyday beer like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good recognition to have.
Love me some Crane.
That's pretty much their number one priority brand, too. So
T-Vice,
awesome.
So good. Get some of that.
Yeah. Anchor Christmas. Anchor's been doing this one for 25, 30, maybe longer than that, 25 or 30 years, and every year, I mean, we sell it very, very well.
You had me worried.
The great thing about it is that they actually change that recipe every single year. So
you had me worried this year. For a hot minute, I didn't know we were going to get any Crane or Anchor Christmas.
Yeah, I was concerned there for a little bit too, because we're usually releasing that. We usually get it in the warehouse like beginning to mid-October and then release it that last week of October. And we didn't get it until like the second week of November this year. So
it's here. It's just joy on the shelves.
And actually a nice little surprise too was we also sprinkled some Anchor Porter.
Yeah.
With this last one too.
Such a good timely beer as well. Maybe not on a 70 degree day, unless you're hardcore. But, well, you know, it's going to change. That's, you know, Midwest.
Yeah. Well, Guinness likes to hang their hat on the fact that July is actually one of their best months for volume. So, I mean, people drink Guinness Stout in July. I mean, they obviously drink other stouts as well. I mean,
stout season's all year,
might,
bro.
It might seem more applicable this time of year when the weather's changing and it's getting colder and, you know, those roasty notes actually.
Love it. That's what I go home to.
The roasty notes?
The roasty notes. I know what's like waiting for me in the fridge.
A Yankee Candle type of thing?
I got like maybe two Anchor Christmases left, so go get some, but not too quickly. I still got to go to the store and refill.
So in Kansas, we're a Stone distributor in Kansas, and Enjoy by 1/1/21 should be arriving next week as well. That's one that they do basically on a quarterly / trimester basis, and great IPA, big IPA every single time, a little bit different every single time, but those go really well also.
Can't wait. Good day. It's the end of 2020.
So yeah,
we could really use that.
Again, with the theme of this this particular episode of the podcast is impulse, and we've got plenty of opportunities to stack some great seasonal beers up and utilize and take advantage of the high impulse that's just going to be happening this holiday season.
For sure.
Along with that is variety packs are huge this time of year too. Anticipate probably smaller number of family gatherings and Christmas parties and that type of stuff where variety packs may be a little bit more appropriate. But I think that the variety packs are still a great opportunity to stack up in spots where maybe you don't necessarily get a stack of beer every now and then. But the variety packs are going to be great for it, I think, this year too.
Well, I kind of view that as a really cool opportunity to, you know, if you're at home, you're doing your virtual Thanksgiving, your Zoom Thanksgiving, or you're getting with a small group of your family and friends, whatever you're doing, a variety pack gives you an opportunity to kind of have a pairing with every single course, every single side, and things like that. And so if you're wanting to really flex that craft beer knowledge, variety pack's the way to go.
Yeah, or even take it simpler and just, like, I don't necessarily like having the same beer back to back to back to back to back. I like to switch it up, and
I like
totally
to be difficult.
I destroy my palate every single night with 5 IPAs and 3 stouts and whatever.
Oh, finish with a Pilsner.
No, I don't really drink that much around.
What? What?
No. Yeah, I do.
What? Okay.
Who am I kidding?
Come on. Come on, this guy. I know you're not bringing any beer here, but,
well,
you know.
I'll have to fix that next time.
I assume it's because you drank it all.
Pretty much.
I get it. That's cool. So, Thanksgiving coming around the corner. Obviously, a lot of beers on the shelves to choose for that time of year and even beyond, since we're heading pretty much right into the Christmas holiday. Anything else we have to look forward to?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just a look forward. I mean, again, the theme for this time of year is always impulse, maybe higher this year than normal, but the variety is what we need to have available out there, you know, not just the year-round items, but utilizing our seasonal items as well and the variety packs. You know, kind of looking forward, because we've been doing a lot of annual business planning meetings. Obviously, that's the type of thing that happens this time of year. And 2021 is going to be a big year for a lot of different things.
Okay.
So I kind of want to look forward a little bit into Q1 and discuss some of those things. So,
sure.
You know, obviously, the seltzer business is massive, and
there you go, understatement.
fortunately for us, we have a couple or a few of the most dominant, whether it's Quirk from Boulevard, White Claw, and Truly. So that's a really great place for us to be, to not only have those brands but also have the ability to kind of manage that category next year, as we're going to have some craft suppliers that are jumping into that business. And, you know, the expectations are Central States to go out and set these brands up for success long term.
That's way too vague, and I do not accept it. Well, who are you talking about right now?
So what I mean by that, and actually our sales staff is going to know what I mean by that, is, you know, we're going to have execution goals on distribution and shelf placement and pricing and all of those things that move beer at the consumer level. So it's kind of a get ready, because here they come. But Founders is going to be releasing a variety pack, 15-pack of Mas Agave seltzer.
So okay.
They took the Mas Agave beer. Well, they took the name of the beer. They're still going to be doing some Mas Agave beers next year, but on a limited release. But this Mas Agave seltzer is going to be a big bet for them next year.
So a win-win.
That's actually not coming until March, but they are leaning on this one pretty heavy. And what they're telling me is that in their test markets, it's going gangbusters. And they actually test marketed not just like in the Michigan area. They did it throughout all the quadrants, basically, of the country to really get a good feel for how this package is going to go.
So it's coming.
So it is coming. I think I feel like this is going to be a good one. We did have some samples of that, and I have not heard nothing even close to negative on them as far as the taste.
Nice.
Everything that I've heard was extremely positive. So
in a market, particularly with seltzers, where the name of the game is, you know, flavored sparkling water, how do you differentiate yourself? Mas Agave sounds like it's making a pretty good headway into that.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, just based on that, you know, interesting name. But they're going to have a strawberry flavor. I don't know that there's too many strawberry flavored seltzers out there right now.
That
seems to be the most popular one out of the Mas Agave group. But,
okay.
Anyway, nice. So that's going to be a big one. And then Prost, which we actually had an excellent launch with. And
yeah, man.
It's probably, I mean, it's up there with Dogfish and Ballast Point as far as our most successful launches of a new craft brewery in this market. And I'm incredibly pleased with how that thing has gone.
Sales team, and pat yourselves on the back, too. You did this in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. And it's kind of interesting how there were not very many, if any, actually, like, new brewery launches from March till July.
Nah, it's crazy.
From any wholesaler. And so we really tested the waters in August with this one. And I think there's actually been a few other breweries that have launched in Kansas City since then. I think they saw the success that we had with Prost.
You know what you say to that? Prost.
Prost. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Pat on the back to the sales staff, because that was excellent execution there. And it's still going. So that's the
yeah,
the
don't
best
let
thing.
Up. IPL just hit shelves, right? That's
IPL just hit shelves. And that's actually
lager.
A great beer. We don't have a whole lot of success in the past with that style of beer. But, you know, it's a seasonal and it's moving well. Lots and lots of optimism with Prost. But also, Prost is going to be bringing out a 12-pack variety of seltzers next year. And that,
oh, wow.
We are shooting for an April time frame on that one as well.
How German is that?
I'm trying to remember the name of the pack. It's I can't remember. It's very mountain themed, but we'll talk about that more extensive,
I think,
in the podcast coming forward.
The last casual conversation I was in with Matt Shaded, he kind of teased the seltzer too, so yeah. I knew it was coming.
Right,
that's exciting.
Mothers is going to give another go
with
Ready Seltzer.
Nice.
And they're very confident that they've been able to eliminate any of the problems that they had before. They've been testing at the brewery extensively with shelf life and all of those things. So we're going to give that one another go. This is a big bet for them. Obviously, it was for 2020, but they're not backing down on this. This is something they believe in, and we need to get behind it, too, because it's something that, it's just a category that we need to play in.
Just strengthen that seltzer portfolio. Get a whole couple doors at this point. You talked about the big three.
There's a lot of volume to be had there.
For
and,
sure.
When Bud Light and these other, I probably shouldn't say Bud Light on this. But
it's not like they don't exist.
Well,
Jordan,
I know.
Like.
But I just, you know, there's a lot of competition out there.
There
and
is.
We have the capability to go out and steal that business from them.
For
while
sure.
Also maintaining what we currently have.
Exactly. And I think that just strengthens our side of the portfolio, too. You talked about White Claw and Truly and Quirk, but in addition to that, you know, Vizzy and Coors Seltzer are making huge plays too, and the causes behind them. We kind of get into that a little bit in the interview portion of this podcast, which is coming up. Mr. John Cain was fortunate enough, or I was fortunate enough to have Mr. John Cain sit down and talk about these things. So a little foreshadowing, but as far as this conversation goes, not done quite yet. We still got in the near term. We were talking March, April, early on in 2021.
So still kind of talking about. So Seltzer is really fun for everybody to talk about and listen to because it's something that's really working. So,
yeah.
You know, let's get that out of the way. But another thing that's kind of a big bet, and it is almost like a gamble for next year, is NA beers. Lagunitas is coming out with IPNA. Dogfish is coming out with a beer called Lemon Quest, which is absolutely awesome. And then Sam Adams is coming out with an IPA that's non-alcoholic as well.
I got the mask on, but my jaw dropped.
Right.
Just so you know.
I could see that.
Okay. Actually. Oh, that's cool.
So, and I don't think that these three new NA beers are going to be the end of additions to that category. And,
sure.
You know, it all kind of goes into the same idea of, you know, seltzer and better for you. And I have the air quotes going.
I joked in the interview that, you know, this is what happens when you let millennials have money. So darn it, guys. Better for you stuff. Caring about your health.
So these are things that are coming, and we have some serious optimism behind this, and mainly because if you look at some statistics behind current NA category is, you know, just year to date, there's $400,000 worth of revenue going through IRI, and that's $51,000 up from a year ago. So
it's crazy.
There's some significant growth there. It's almost 40% growth. You know, again, it's all about getting into those categories that are clearly working based on IRI data and other statistical sites, and then also utilizing your brewery to brew a fantastic product. And we've tasted some of these. They all are excellent in their own right, and you can have 20 of them and feel great. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but, you know, it's just a little bit more of a good for you, manageable product that people can consume at a high rate.
So I guess the question,
or at a low rate, if that's what you do.
I'll kind of ask that may or may not be on everybody's mind. Obviously, you know, two of us in this room, I can only speak for myself. When it comes to NA, non-alcoholic, but it's brewed on the same system that brews, you know, alcoholic beer. Mm. How is this certified? Like as a non-alcoholic?
So all of these, with the exception of, I mean, Lagunitas Hop Refresher has been out for a couple of years now. We've
sure.
actually done pretty well with that too.
It's fantastic.
Right. So they're actually still like a 0.5% alcohol. I think there's one on the market that's an NA beer that's actually zero, the Heineken Zero, but they're still 0.5%. And there's various ways to get that reduction in alcohol. I mean, there's a different yeast that could be used, or they just simply let the yeast supposed to do until the alcohol level gets down. So I guess if the question is, does it have to be categorized that's 0.5% or below to be NA?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much the benchmark. But I would also put, you know, Stiegl Radlers in that NA category because they are less than 3.2%. And I actually think, you know, if this NA thing with these new crap beers works out, I think it's only going to elevate our Stiegl Radler business.
Awesome.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Right.
Love it. Love
Yay.
It. I yelled out really loud, and I probably shouldn't have because the dB spiked. So, you know, it's I don't know what else you got on your sheet here that we need to cover. Do we get everything checked?
For the moment, I just think that depending on when this podcast is available to everybody.
Who knows?
I mean, we're just in the spike part of the year when impulse is absolutely at its highest rate. So creating that shopping environment where we can benefit as a company on that impulse is the best way for us to finish this year.
And that's honestly what we're trying to do with this podcast. Like the two of us are talking like we would be walking down the beer aisle. These are the conversations you have.
Sure.
All the time.
Absolutely.
A lot of people just trying to get you out of the way because you're just standing there talking right. about NAs. But you know,
that's, no, I don't know about that. But I guess it could
that's
happen.
Not you.
It could happen.
Oh no, this is fun. There's so much to look forward to, and this obviously being the first podcast, there's so much to learn.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get there though. But this is a really, really cool, innovative start. And I'm excited to see what comes of it. I'm excited for you to come around more with products.
Awesome. Yeah, but I understood. I got the message. The memo has been received.
But in the meantime, next time. You know, you got Thanksgiving next week. We don't know exactly when this is going to go live, but we know it is going to be soon. So some of this information is more vague than it probably needs to be, but we'll get better at that as well. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Is the answer nothing?
Yep.
Smart.
Yeah, it is. It's probably nothing for the rest of the year and maybe even beyond. We'll see what happens.
We're going to get there. We're going to turn this hurdle. But until then, plenty of beer in the market, plenty of beer on shelves, more to come. That's very exciting.
Yep.
Stick around very, very shortly for the John Cain interview. Otherwise, thanks for listening.
Podcast one.
It's so simple. It's so easy.
I've been wanting to do this forever. Ever since this podcast thing we talked about.
Yeah.
And finally through, it took a COVID episode saying, we need to start doing this to get out in front of all of our people and get our suppliers out in front of everybody. So
I guess the silver lining behind a really dark cloud.
Oh, gosh.
Look, we got a podcast. Yeah, I'm thankful for this. And actually, the good news is that we are rolling. I've been going this whole time. Yeah. I guess it's best to just get into it and say that, you know, this is our Central States Ounces of Information. You like that name?
I do.
Podcast. And this is the very first inaugural interview of such podcast. I think looking down the schedule just a little bit on some of the supplier reps and people that I have and Jordan has in mind to bring in on this, there's going to be some, you know, it's the interviewee's job to like bring the information, you know.
Correct.
And it's the interviewer's job to keep it entertaining. But I really don't think I'm going to have any issue with that today. So,
you're not going to have that problem.
if you didn't know already, with me today is the man himself, the general manager, Central States Beverage Company, Mr. John Cain. How are you today, sir?
I am in great peachy mood for a Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday?
It's been a good day today. It's been a great day all day.
What made it a good day?
Got out of bed right. Got my workout in. Got here. Got to see the people. Operationally, things were looking great. Got the beer was out. Everybody's the warehouse is in great shape. And get the chance to see everybody and see what they got going on as the day progresses. We had a lot of meetings today. A lot of stuff going on between annual business plans. It's that time of year. Every supplier that we represent for the Kansas City, Missouri, and over, especially over in Kansas, everybody thinks we're going to have just one huge 2021. And, of course,
baby,
my little crystal ball says a little different. Just taking a look at what we think is going to happen with this pandemic situation we're involved with now for, 9 months?
Sure.
We don't see it going away. Of course, they all talk about they have the vaccine ready to rock and roll and how long it will take before everybody gets inoculated. I'm sure not everybody's going to want to get inoculated. And then you figure, well, who's going to get it? Who's not going to get it? And the guys that don't get it, what do you do with them? It's like I said, it's been the most interesting 2020 I've ever been involved with, looking at how we started out the year with the Chiefs, of course, winning the Super Bowl. We had a tremendous start with our organization in terms of volume and a lot of enthusiasm in the marketplace that was going on because of the Super Bowl and such. And it was rolling right into March. And, of course, then the conversation came up with regards to what was going on with this COVID situation. And I remember we started the Big 12 basketball tournament. It was Wednesday night, March 11th. We just finished the first game of the two-game series that was going on.
Yeah.
And it was right after, halfway through the first half of the second game, they made the announcement. The tournament will not allow anybody else to come into the arena following that night's game. Everything else will be closed to the public.
I remember that. I actually remember the exact moment because I was on the stage in the live block with you, and I forget who it was. It was somebody on the stage too. They got a text and like they're calling it the whole thing. It's going to family only. And then the next day it was nobody.
And it happened the next day. All of a sudden that came out, and then it was announced the next day too that effective at 10 o'clock or at midnight on St. Pat's Day, everything was shut down.
Crazy.
Our world changed then.
Yeah.
It was a world of uncertainty. What is this stuff? What is it going to do to me? What's happening in all the other areas where it's not really in Kansas City yet? It was just trickling at that time. But how we, the company had to sit back and take a look, how I had to go back and look at what we were doing, and how do we evolve everybody what's in the organization? One, what steps we need to put in place? Two, how do I keep everybody safe? Three, how do I keep everybody employed? Four, how do we keep the beer going out? And one of the first things that came out of the whole COVID shutdown was is that the federal government identified us as an essential business, which allowed us to continue to work and to supply the our retail accounts out there with product, not sure what was going to happen with that, with everybody being shut down and such. We lost right off the bat, 27% of our business on the on-premise was gone. Bars are closed, restaurants are closed. We're sitting at the height of our keg beer inventory at that time. Of course, we carry kegs every day, but in March, it is the height. It's probably 35 to 40% higher than our normal rate of inventory at that time, just due to the fact we had the Big 12 basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. We had St. Pat's Day. We had Royals opening day coming up. We had sold-out concerts at Sprint. And all of a sudden, there was no place for that beer to go.
Yeah.
And, of course, you sit back and you worry about the financial implications of what that's going to do to the company, trying to keep everybody motivated, because a lot of folks were, like I said, all of us were unsure about this stuff, what it was going to do to you, how it was going to react. All you saw what was being positioned to us from the media, how horrible this thing is. People are dying left and right. And as time's gone along, it's kind of got a little simpler, even though these numbers are still escalating like crazy. But just to go back and start putting things in place to get us through this time and to make sure that we continue to operate and operate efficiently and safely for everybody.
So going into that just a little bit, I know you mentioned that, you know, we're 9 months into this. Looking back on those 9 months from that March to this moment, you know, middle of November, do you think we did everything that we possibly could?
As far as the company has, I believe we've evolved extremely well. The biggest thing is that, like anything else, sometimes things get old and tired, and you start to see it. You not only you see it on your day-to-day when you're outside of your house, outside the business, going around, seeing what people are doing, going into grocery stores. You've got some folks that are working there, got masks on. The other folks don't have masks on. There's this feeling that it's not going to affect me.
Yeah.
That's the part I see mostly. And the biggest thing is I keep continuing to reinforce with of all of our people, sanitizer for your hands, face mask when you're out and about, face mask when you're inside, social distancing, wash your hands all the time. And I'm one of those guys that I work out in the morning, I take a shower, I get to come to work, I get home, I take a shower.
Yeah.
Just get the clothes in the washing machine and everything like that. You never know what you touched or whatever it is, it might be on you, whatever.
Sure.
But I just initiated they just announced, 20% of all the tests taken for the past 2 days have tested positive.
For Kansas City?
I think it's for the state.
Okay.
But when you look, Kansas City's a big piece of that. So yeah. I sent out an email last night initiating we're shutting everything down again.
Yeah.
As of Monday, we're not going to let any other suppliers come into the building for meetings.
Yeah.
We'll do everything like we have done earlier. We'll do it on Zoom. We'll all be virtual presentations and such. Keep the salespeople out. Just try and keep the operations, everything going the way it's supposed to be. And if you have an office, like what we're sitting in right now, you can work in your office as far as I'm concerned with your mask off. And if there's any place else, keep the mask got to stay on.
It's worth noting, too, that we are at least 6 feet apart right now.
Yes, we are.
And I've got the sanitizer.
And I washed my hands and everything before I walked in here and got all cleaned up for you.
I cleaned up all my sneezes. We're all out of the way. And we got the ceiling fan going pretty crazy here at the moment. It might come down, but who knows?
But the biggest thing I see out of this whole thing is there is more comfort, I say, with our employees due to the fact they've seen what's happened. Yes, their people are becoming contaminated or they're coming down with the virus, but it affects everybody differently.
Sure.
I have a son who's a physician. I have a daughter-in-law who's a physician. And I just talked to Pat today, Dr. Pat, and he had the late shift last night, the 4 to 2 a.m. saw a lot of COVID coming in, a lot.
That's over in St. Louis, right?
That's over in St. Louis. And he said of all the guys he saw, they sent him home. I mean, the symptoms, you got the symptoms, that, blah, blah, this and this. But they kept one. That was an elderly person over 75 years old, have a little problem breathing. So they brought him, put him in the hospital. So it affects everybody differently. Sure. I don't care if you're from 20 years old to, you know, 100 years old. You got these 103-year-old ladies coming out. They whipped it. It's the stuff's just amazing how it affects people differently.
Yeah, and it'll be crazy 5 years from now to look back and think of, you know, all the data and analysis that's coming out of this. But I think the one takeaway that we can garner from this, at least as far as, you know, Central States and what we're doing as protocol goes, is it's okay to be confident in what we're doing every single day, but still be cautious and be aware.
Agreed. And like I said, I sent out a weekly newsletter. I didn't do it last week, was out of town, but I put that in every letter. Wash your hands, wear your mask, make sure you have sanitizer in your car, sanitize your hands after every retail call, go home, throw your clothes in a wash, get a shower.
Yeah.
If everybody does that, we're going to be fine. But what I'm seeing now, because of the "it's not going to affect me" attitude of some of the public out there, now it's starting to permeate. And when I say permeate, it's starting to come around the edges of our company.
Yeah.
And there's some folks who get involved as far as being exposed to it. And it's all done on the social situation away from the company. It's nothing's been to doing with how we do our business. Everything works out due to the fact that my nanny came down with it, didn't know about it. My babysitter had it. My nephew came over to spend the weekend with me. He had it. It's all these social gatherings that we do. And now you got Thanksgiving coming up. You got Christmas coming up. And in 2 weeks, you have every college unloading.
Yeah.
And everybody's coming home.
Oh, man. Here we go.
And you ask yourself, everybody likes to get out and about and do their things. It's going to be interesting what's going to happen the next 8 weeks.
You know, it is. You're absolutely right. It's not all been bad, though, for us anyway. I know.
We've been fortunate. Knock on wood.
And we've managed to maintain a really strong business. We launched a brewery in the middle of this pandemic.
We did.
Prost.
We postponed it, twice? And finally, I said, hey, we got to the point coming into the fall. What a great time to introduce for Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Of course, there are no Oktoberfests. But it worked out great, and they had a great launch. They're extremely happy at what we've done with them so far in Kansas City. We've exceeded their expectations, as a supplier would be, coming working with us. And the biggest thing right now is keeping the beer coming to our direction and keep pushing what we've been doing.
Absolutely. Shameless plug, too. Silver Medal.
Yes.
GABF for that Pilsner.
That's
worth drinking.
Great beer.
Oh, so good.
Great brewery.
So good.
Great
still got beer. It's a staple in my fridge.
Well, I got some Dunkel in there. I got the Dunkel in there.
Man, Shaded, our pro strap was like, this is football beer.
Oh, it is.
It is. And it is right. Every Sunday, popping a Dunkel.
Just sit back and enjoy it. That's great to be in the beer business, isn't it? What do you got to do for a living? I got to go drink a few beers.
So, and let's talk about the beer business here for a little bit. And, you know, you mentioned all these ABPs and business planning meetings you've been in for 2021. What do we have to look forward to?
It all depends on the on-premise. In terms of looking at the volume piece, they're expecting great things. Is these carbonated seltzer water category can continue to accelerate at the rate it has been? Will the suppliers have the ability to give us the product we need when we need it? The out-of-stock situation we've had since mid-July has not been resolved with a number of our major suppliers. And they keep saying they're back into it, we're okay, and they're still far, far, far away. So you figured 2021 starts in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm telling all of them, I said, unless you can provide us the product we need in the first quarter, we'll never catch up. We have to have the product in January to attain these goals that they're setting for us if we're going to get to that goal.
Yeah.
Because I said again, we won't catch up. You can't. So innovation. A continuation of evolving of the carbonated seltzer water category. Right now in our business, it's 10% of our business now, total. And that is a goal for these, especially for like Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah.
And for Boston Beer Company, they see the carbonated seltzer water getting to at least 10% of the total beer business. It's 10% of our house right now. And it's not slowing down. You have those two. You got, of course, White Claw. You have Truly. Quirk. Quirk now is the number three selling seltzer water in Kansas City. It outsells Bud Light.
That happened pretty quick.
And it, as soon as that mixed 12-pack came out, boom, it just took off. And it has not slowed down a bit. We just saw the latest 12 weeks, and we're outpacing them big time.
Awesome.
But we got the top three. It comes down to Truly, White Claw, and then Quirk, and then Bud Light's down there. Vizzy's working its way up. Now we're trying to keep product in on that. Like I said, the whole secret of everything regarding that category is to keep inventory in hand.
Yeah.
Just looking overall, it's just big numbers on Mike's, big numbers on Boston Beer Company. We finished Molson Coors yesterday, and they're looking for about a 0.5% increase for 2021. And a lot of that has to do with the seltzer business, too, again.
Yeah.
With what they have with Coors Seltzer,
yeah,
along with Vizzy, what we can do to accelerate that and get them to up about 10% of the total category of itself, which is going to be, it's going to be a challenge, but it can be done if they give us the product.
Well, it really feels like the messaging behind both of those brands is just A-grade right now. You know, you talk about saving the rivers.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to save the world over here.
Absolutely. And I think it's resonating. We're definitely seeing it online. Everybody wants to save the rivers.
Everybody wants their fresh water. And without a doubt, they did their homework, Molson Coors did, as far as how to identify that product and how to go out and reach to that younger consumer, that next generation that's coming into the 21-year-old drinking age. And they found that niche. And it's all about how do I make my world better than it is today.
For sure. For sure. And so, to top it all off, it tastes really good.
It does. You know? They did a nice job reformulating that stuff. I remember the first time we tasted that, it was like, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
But they listened very well to all the distributors that were tasting it and getting their comments and doing all the other panel stuff. And they've got a great product out there now.
Excellent.
It really is good.
I enjoy drinking Coors Seltzer. Vizzy with the acerola, the super fruit, and the vitamin C. That's good to feel right now in the middle of a pandemic.
My gosh. Like I said, if you have five of those, you meet the vitamin C requirement daily.
Done.
That's why I just drink five.
And you got a buzz.
And people understand this. You know, everybody, I've been talking to folks about the seltzer business, and their line was, is that, man, this stuff really gets to my head quicker. I said, well, first of all, it's 5%, you know? It's not like a Miller Lite, which is like 3.8, or Bud Light, which is 3.4 or whatever. You can drink a lot of Miller Lights and Bud Lights and Coors Lights.
Yeah.
It's higher in alcohol on a per unit basis. And then you add carbonation to it, it will go to your head immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
And you sit back and the ladies go, why does this make me so silly? I said, because... carbonated alcohol. That's what it is, huh? It goes right to your system, and it just blows right into it.
Who'd have thunk? It worked out so well.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about the anti-buzz, though. There's some waves being made in the non-alcoholic category, too.
Oh, the better-for-you category is escalating. Sat down, and I've been hearing some tremors about this right when this pandemic thing started, about the non-alcoholic bars opening up on the East Coast and doing non-alcoholic cocktails and beers and such, and then the gluten-free side of it, what's good for you, healthy beers.
Yeah.
And what's happened to the big boys that got into it, the first one that jumped into the, into the water, Coors did a re-evaluation, and they did a relaunch of their Coors NA. And it's already up like 100% because of the package and flavor chase that they did. And then Heineken started the big one. They came out with their Heineken free alcohol, advertising on TV. And what that has done now, it's made everybody else jump to get into the NA category. And the NA category kind of evolved. It was back in 1992. Everybody was screaming and hollering because what was happening in Australia at that time. Australia was having terrible drinking and driving problems in their big cities and out in the rural areas, and a lot of accidents, a lot of deaths because of drinking and driving. And so they implemented all these different laws and such, and all of a sudden the NA category started. And everybody rushed to get into the NA business. Sharps got into it. Of course, O'Doul's came out of that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Coors came out with their product. And then we had Caliber flew in there. Beck's had one. Everybody got into the NA business at that time. But it never did anything, at least in the United States. What they thought was going to happen in Australia was going to happen in the United States. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it was a great, good-for-you type program. And we don't sell a lot of it. We didn't sell a lot of it, but recently, you start looking at it since the Coors did the relaunch, watching what we have with Pabst NA, Old Milwaukee NA, which is our biggest selling non-alcoholic product we have. And now the introduction, what's going to be coming up in 2021, Sam Adams will be introducing an NA beer. Dogfish Head will have an NA beer. Let's see. We're looking at another brewery called Holly Daily Brewing Company.
Okay.
And Holly Daily makes alcoholic beers, but it's all
gluten-free?
Gluten-free.
Yeah.
100% gluten-free beers.
Oh, fantastic. There's a market.
It's a gluten-free brewery, one of 16 in the country.
Huh.
And she's number one. And great lady, great concept. We'll be probably seeing that stuff coming in after the first quarter of next year.
Fantastic.
But just looking at these NAs, Bud has a new non-alcoholic product. I saw it advertised on a couple of stations. It's not in Kansas City yet, but it's probably going to see it after the first of the year. But they got it in some test markets. They've been doing some advertising with it. So you'll start seeing this category all of a sudden being with like maybe a shelf of NAs.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come to a half door. All of a sudden,
that's
crazy. Just like the seltzer. It started out with a shelf or two.
Yeah.
Now it's like five doors. So it'll be interesting to see what this, I call it good for you, will take place. That's just on the beer side. And then on the flip side, non-alcoholic beverages that we will be handling upcoming. Hy-Vee will be introducing the 15th of January, two lines of NAs coming from Molson Coors, Clearly Kombucha.
Okay.
And a bio, Hazad. It's a bio protein, good for you seltzer.
Oh, wow.
So we have those two coming. And then Lacombe, which is the coffee that will compete with Starbucks in terms of their ready to go products and stuff. We'll have Lacombe. We'll have Hazad, and we'll have Clearly Kombucha here right after the first of the year.
You know, it's amazing what happens when you let those darn millennials control the purse here.
Flavor. What's the flavor of the day?
Yeah.
But that's what's happening. So start looking at all these SKUs. Now we've been thinking about beer shelves, beer. Now we're going to be in another part of the store. What
sure.
That is.
Yeah.
Clear Kombucha is going to be in the health section. It will be in the, if you go to like the Hy-Vees and such, they got the 1 8-foot section of to-go products. They have their Red Bulls in there. They got the kombuchas in there. This stuff's going to be in there. And then you got to go over to the water side where LaCroix and all that stuff is. And that's where you're going to find Huzzah.
Crazy.
So
we're everywhere.
All of a sudden, our footprint's going to start expanding across this store. There's a question in my head whether I need to deem and start looking at an NA person just to oversee what's going to be taking place, which is probably going to happen. I'm not sure when. We'll take a look and see what this really does to begin with, because there's more work involved. And one guy can kind of try to take care of the beers, the seltzers, the spirit side, the non-alcoholic side. I mean, it's going to progress, and that's how it's going to happen. We're not a beer distributor anymore. We're a beverage distributor. We have to understand that.
You know, that's actually a really good segue, because we were getting ready to talk about all these crazy, exciting things that are coming out in 2021, and so much optimism and things to look forward to, pandemic aside.
Yeah.
Looking back, age is just a number, sir. It's been how many years now?
For
your tenure in the beer industry.
Oh, my gosh. I've been here, let's see.
Correction, beverage industry.
40 years coming up.
40 years.
Between the Miller Brewing Company and then stepping into the front door of High Life Sales Company back in 1984.
Goodness gracious. Did you see the industry where it is now?
No. I say the industry in the last 24 months has changed so wholeheartedly compared to anything else I've seen come through. Not since light beer. When Miller Lite was introduced, it was still a small portion when I first started with Miller Brewing Company and when I first started with High Life Sales Company. Miller High Life was the brand of choice. That was it.
Yeah.
Sold a million cases of Miller High Life. Million cases.
Yeah.
And then it just flip-flopped. Miller Lite just took off. And that category, when he got into it, Coors Light got into it. Of course, Bud Light got into it. First started out as Natural Light, which failed miserably.
Yeah.
That's when they came out with Bud Light, and the light beer category was introduced. And there's been a lot of other stuff that they tried to get into. You had ice beers at one time.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. And it exploded. And then it just died as fast as it exploded. That Bolson Ice at that time was number one. Of course, there's still Bud Ice is still laying around. But it was a great concept. Everybody got into it, but it ran its course and it went away. I've seen a lot of stuff come and go, a lot of stuff. But I've never seen anything like this seltzer thing. The way it's just growing and it's being accepted. And, of course, the flavor profile, it's not like, you know, Miller Lite. I got, to say, 13 different packages of Miller Lite. A couple packages of carbonated seltzer water. Everybody's buying mixed 12 packs. They don't care what the flavor of the day of is in it. They just want a variety.
Yeah.
The variety seems to be the big thing in mixed 12 packs in terms of our business, not only in terms of the seltzer, but even on the mixed 12 packs on the beer side. It's just been extraordinary.
It's crazy. Just crazy. And real quick, you remember the first craft beer you ever had?
Yes.
What was it?
Anchor Steam.
Anchor Steam.
It was an Anchor Steam.
This is the week that Anchor Christmas is hitting shelves. How timely.
We had Anchor before Boulevard got going. We weren't sure about this craft beer thing.
Yeah.
We just knew it did very well in San Francisco. Fritz Maytag of Maytag Wealth and Fame, Maytag Washers and Dryers, Maytag Blue Cheese, all that. It was Fritz Maytag. He decided to get in the beer business. He wanted to do things the old-fashioned way. So he had open fermentation tanks, did everything the old-fashioned way, didn't care what it cost. Here's the price of the beer. Everybody got into it, and it started from there.
But, fantastic. And here we are.
And here I am. We finally just got some Anchor back in the house because of the transition they've been gone through.
Uh-huh.
They've been bought and sold a couple of times. Sapporo, they are now owned by Sapporo. So they had to redo all the contracts with everybody, get all the assignment letters and everything redone. And now we got the product just back in. Now we've got to go back and refill the shelves again with Anchor Steam. Like a reintroduction altogether.
Such
and
a nice thing, though. Yeah. Such a nice thing, though, just to have Anchor back in market, too, especially this time of year.
But Anchor Porter. Oh,
so good.
It is so good, especially on tap.
Well, we've been going for about 30 minutes now, and I hope you've enjoyed the snowball questions because it's about to get a little bit harder.
Fire away.
Oh, man. I'm also really glad that I had you sign that that form at the very beginning here that was like a charity thing. It's actually a liability waiver, so I keep my job.
Not to worry about it, Aaron. Not to worry, buddy.
We're debuting. Well, that's a stupid thing for me to say. The whole thing's a debut. We're debuting a segment called the Five Heavy Hitters. I'm going to ask you five questions that'll be the hardest questions you have all day.
Question number one.
I need you to look me dead in the eye and tell me honestly and unfiltered, what did you really think of the Game of Thrones finale?
I was sad to see it end.
That was it?
I was. I was sad to see it end. It said, oh, there should have been more. But you think of 5 years of putting that thing on as they did and how that thing crescendoed each season. And to come out, you're looking for something big to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, it came and it went.
And that was it.
That was it.
All finales just never live up to it.
It's just like, who was it? Tony, what's his name?
Soprano?
Oh, Soprano, the last one.
Oh, see, I love that last one.
They're sitting there in the cafe ordering burgers and shakes, and all of a sudden,
it's done.
You're waiting for the hitman to come walking in. It's all of a sudden, it goes blank.
Oh, it's great. He left it up to the imagination.
I go, for crying out loud.
I kind of wish Game of Thrones did that, personally. But, you know, it is what it is. What it is. That was my question number one. Question number two. This one's even worse.
All right.
So, you know, this weekend, obviously, the Chiefs have a bye week.
Yes.
So let's fast forward to next weekend. Chiefs are going to Vegas to take on the Raiders.
Yes.
In that Roomba of a stadium that they have.
Correct.
That same weekend, Nebraska's taking Illinois.
Ooh.
And your SMU Mustangs are going to Houston. Or is Houston coming
Houston,
here?
Houston comes to SMU.
That's it. So SMU Houston, Chiefs Raiders, Nebraska Illinois. Only one team can win. Who you got?
All right. Looking at the Chiefs game starting there, the Chiefs, because of what happened to them here in Kansas City, they'll be better prepared going into play Oakland. It'll be interesting to see what changes from that time to this time.
Sure.
Going look at Nebraska Illinois. I don't know about the Huskers. No, it's just too bad the Big Ten got started so late. It's due to the fact because of the pandemic, they had no preseason games and such, and they lost their game to Wisconsin because of the COVID breakout up there. And so they played one game, and you try to assess yourself, how do I get better and better? Illinois played a pretty good game the first game. I think they got beat by somebody. I forgot. But the Huskers got beat at Illinois last year. Illinois is coming to Lincoln, I think the Huskers will win.
Okay.
And then looking at SMU, they play next week. They play Houston. Houston's got some good – I'm talking to my son, Kelvin. Houston's got some good athletes. But first-year coach and everything, and the COVID, they got caught behind the eight ball too as well in terms of getting out and playing teams. So they played a lot fewer games than Kevin's team has played. Kevin's played eight games.
Yeah.
And you look at who's played eight games in the top 25, there's not too many. And the protocol they put in place with their players and their coaches and the staff – keeping everybody COVID-free for this period, a long period of time.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. And they play Tulsa this week at Tulsa. It'll be a good game. And it depends how the offense can take on Tulsa's defense and how Coach Kane's defense can just thwart whatever they want to do. But playing against Houston, Kevin, SMU over Houston, there's no doubt about that.
So those are the facts. But between the three, Chiefs, Nebraska, or SMU, only one of those can win. Who's winning? The other two have to lose.
Oh, SMU.
Okay.
SMU's going to win.
Fear of who's listening by chance.
I always go with family. SMU will win. They really got a good team, and they're playing very well right now. They had one bad game, and that was was 2 weeks ago against the University of Cincinnati. They said you show up. I don't know what it was, but you could just tell receivers dropping balls, guys missing blocks. Cincinnati just came out and got after him at the beginning, and they never could catch up.
Cincinnati, that's a Travis Kelce alma mater, isn't it?
It is, and they're ranked number 7 right now in the country.
Look at that. SMU showing them what's what. Well, okay, so SMU's the pick. I don't think there's any surprise there. Let's call it like it is.
They do play Saturday night, 6 o'clock, ESPN2.
ESPN2.
There you go.
Now, question number 3. The week after, we go into the holidays. We got Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It's going to be a different Thanksgiving, but I think it's safe to say some things are going to stay the same. You're going to have a nice meal either way.
Correct.
What is the worst Thanksgiving dish?
There is no such thing as the worst Thanksgiving dish. I have never, ever heard of anything as the worst. What is the
nothing?
Worst?
Nothing?
Nothing. How about mincemeat pie?
Okay. All right.
I'll throw that in there.
Mincemeat. But even still, that sounds iffy.
But it's like...
like you're going to eat it.
I ask myself, there is no such thing as a bad thing on your plate on Thanksgiving.
Okay, all right, I'll take that's an acceptable answer.
And then you just put gravy on all of it and nobody cares.
There you go. Gravy over everything, everything's better. I can agree with that. That's a fair assessment. The fourth question, we're almost to the end here, so I hope you're not sweating too much. 40 years in the beer industry, probably been a part of a lot of different toasts. Tell me the best toast you've ever given.
The night of my daughter's wedding. And if you ask me what I said, because John Kane does things on the fly. And it was something my wife was asked me as we were being introduced walking into the reception. Do you have your toast ready? I said, it's going.
Yeah.
And it came out great. It was like everybody came up and got just like, oh my gosh, how do you write that? How do you come up with all those ideas?
Just fantastic.
You just sit there, kind of dwell everything that's inside. It even came up with had a poem for him, which I made up along the way.
Okay.
But that's the one I remember the best. And the other one was on St. Pat's Day when my father passed away. And we're sitting on the front porch, which was part of the tradition. We would go to my parents' house for St. Pat's Day every year after we would visit a number of establishments. And we would provide corned beef, cabbage, new potatoes. We have a couple of kegs of beer on the porch. And then after about an hour of eating and drinking some more beer, then it was the Jameson's Irish whiskey or the whatever the Irish whiskey of the day was. And we would go out and I would pour a glass and we would remind ourselves of all those who were here before us. What they did to instill upon us the work ethic, the gift of family, the gift of friends, and the gift of life of what we have to share with everybody, what everybody's being nice and cozy with everybody else.
Absolutely.
And I remember that one. That was a tough one.
I can imagine. But very memorable.
But what was I drinking then? It wasn't Jameson. Somebody brought me something. Tom Stacey brought. Ooh. What?
St. Pat's, and it wasn't a Guinness? That was earlier in the day.
This is Irish whiskey. This is Guinness all day. It's Guinness all day. What was that stuff? After, I'll think about that. It's one of those. That was so good.
We'll do a follow-up podcast.
We'll do that on St. Pat's Day. I'll bring the bottle in for
there
that
we
one.
Go. All that's right. We'll now do. We're
we'll
talking.
Bring, we'll bring that in, Aaron.
Oh, I'm a fan of that. Well, you made it to the very end, the very last question here, and this is the important one because I think I speak for just about the entire company, probably all of Kansas City in general. Mr. Kane, when we get in that Yingling?
You know, I have reached out to the gentleman who's in charge of arranging this rollout. For everything right now, they're still putting things together as far as the organization is going to look like. Yingling is not a part of Miller, of Molson Coors. They'll be completely separate. It's like almost what Pabst has right now with Molson Coors as a contract brewer. But it kind of takes a different connotation with the Yingling. Is Yingling will come in and we'll have Molson Coors and Yingling personnel together.
Uh-huh.
But it'll be a different group away from Molson Coors.
Okay.
So looking at the rollout and everything is, when can I see it? I think it all depends when Molson Coors has everything ready regarding their breweries to begin producing the product the way and the specifications is being made in Pennsylvania. And once they get the capacity, now mind you, look at the problems we're having today trying to get product in here.
Oh, sure.
Cans, shortages on packaging, trying to get stuff out because of the ramp up of the amount of package going out, finding the truck lines to get the stuff in here because there's more of it, like versus a keg.
Sure.
So there's a lot of things that have to fall in place before we start seeing this quick transition or whatever the transition, 1 to 5 years they got for the remaining 23 Western states. But my thought would be is this. They're in Arkansas because of one reason only. It's called Mr. Walmart.
Uh-huh.
And we're adjacent to it. And there's a lot of recognition of Yingling in Missouri versus, let's say, trying to run to California.
Oh, sure.
Or trying to run to Texas.
Yeah.
They probably have more recognition here than they do in those other states. And they understand that. So I would assume, I sure like to see it in 2021. I really would. But I've reached out to the gentleman that is in charge of it. He knows who we are. He knows, matter of fact, I heard nothing but great things about Central States Beverage Company and all the things that you and your market. And I'm looking forward to working with you until I get my transition team in place and figure out what the next steps are. And then they'll begin methodically going out and start contacting folks and saying, what's your commitment to doing this? How much you got for this? But my estimate, based on everybody I've talked to, we'll sell, just on the Missouri side, roughly 350 to 400,000 cases of Yingling first year.
That is nuts.
And it comes
That's a lot of beer.
And I hate to say it. I hate to put this publicly, but it all comes out of Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
100% does.
A lot of Yingling.
And I had some down in Florida. I was down there last week. I had to go away. And I just bought a six-pack of Yingling and just... That really is good beer.
Oh, yeah. It's what everybody does on their vacation time. You got to get the Yingling.
It really is good beer. And what great heritage that family has. And what a coup that both the families of Molson Coors as well as the Yingling family to come together and do this joint venture synopsis.
Oh, absolutely.
And then rolling this thing out further, going to the West and get those other 23 states going. That's great.
I've never heard a more eloquent way of saying, you get it when you get it, Aaron. Leave me alone. So that was good.
I tell you what, Aaron. As soon as I find out, you'll be the first person to know.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm very
behind
excited.
Mr. Moss. As soon as I find that out, you will know.
Look for that podcast.
But I'm looking forward. Yingling, like I said, great heritage, great beers, real simple, three flavors.
Good stuff.
Regular, light, black, and tan.
Oh.
That's it. How simple can you make it? And it's in cans and in bottles. There's about 8 SKUs.
I'm very excited for it. I'm very excited for the future. I'm very excited for this podcast. And, you know, that's basically a wrap on this thing.
Well, I tell you what, Aaron, this is something, like I said, I've wanted to do for a long time. And I am just so glad that we're able to sit here today and do this. And I'm looking to how this thing will continue to expand and doing more things with our suppliers, doing some things with our retailers, bringing them in, asking them questions.
Sure.
About what do you expect from a beer distributorship? How do you want this? How do you want us to handle this situation with you and such? But the way things are right now, and what a great way to get in front of all of our salespeople. I have not seen people in 9 months. We don't allow the sales guys to come in. Just seeing you puts a smile on my face, and some guys sneak in and sneak out. But, you know, like I said, there's a number of folks I have not. I've had the opportunity to see.
Sure.
I see the operations guys every day. I make sure that they're healthy and doing what they're doing to make sure the beer gets out of the operation. I see the drivers. I see the accounting team. I see the everybody else. But the sales team, not having the weekly sales meetings is just a tremendous loss. It was just a good time to see everyone, everybody talk and see what's going on. What are you doing over here? And catch it up with your families and how things are happening. We got got Thanksgiving coming up. Thanksgiving will be interesting for a lot of families across the country, not only here in Kansas City. I mean, it affects me as well with my families because we can't go anyplace and nobody's going to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the holidays, you got the college kids coming home. I worry about that. There's a lot of college kids calling us up right now when they come back to workforce as helpers on beer trucks. And I'm going to have to set protocol on what they're going to have to do before they step foot in our building.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
And what the protocol would be once they start working for me, what I expect them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the biggest thing is I don't want this thing to spread just abruptly. I can't have an explosion. We got to do the things we need to do. Wear your mask, wash your hands, social distancing, take your showers, wash your clothes.
We're going to get through this.
We'll all be fine. Everybody would just wear their mask. And I don't know why it's so tough to put a mask on.
I know. It's cloth. It's cloth. This is, you know what? I don't even think about it anymore.
I sit there and think about, don't get me going. I don't know why you just can't put a mask on.
That's fair.
It does not affect, just wear your mask.
And, you know, we started this podcast in the midst of this pandemic, but in so many ways it does embody that drive. You know, Central States, we're going to get through this. We're gonna innovate. We're gonna come up with new ways. We're gonna create. That's what we do best.
I tell you one thing: you can't sit still for too long because somebody's gonna go by you then.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, we've been on the forefront of everything we've been doing, like looking at the technology we've added to the operation the past 2 years, changing the way we do business in the last year, the new warehouse. A lot of new procedures in place and such, but it's still the same way we sell beer. You order it, we pick it, we put it on a truck, it gets delivered.
People drink it.
And the consumers drink more of it, and the rotation continues.
Repeat.
And what not a great business to be in. You can sit back and provide pleasure to people, first of all, because you're providing them great products to drink, and maybe take a little bit of the weariness out of their daily lives that we're dealing with day in and day out. And hopefully we keep up with everybody from their weariness because we're having a hard time right now. And the suppliers should keep up with us. We're looking forward to a great year in 2021. It's got to be a better year. It will be a better year.
It's going to have to be. You're absolutely right. And who knows where it will go, but this is a great way to start. Mr. Kane, thank you so very much.
Aaron, great job. Congratulations on your new environment here.
This is my fun little area.
In your podcast room here.
They're never going to let me leave.
And I kid you not, we'll get you the TV camera over here someplace.
Okay.
And we'll get you a desk, and we'll have the things hanging from the ceiling and all that. We'll do I need an on-air neon hanging in your window.
We'll get one of those on-air signs.
I tell you right now, I'll sign off on it. All right. I will spend that money to say on-air.
Oh, I love it. Right. I love it. I'm going to shop for one right now.
Find one. I'll pay for it.
As always, Mr. Kane, thank you so very much for coming in. Cheers.
Cheers to you, my friend. Be good.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.